as the journey continues, and of course, the last week we looked at the parting of the Red Sea, at the Hebrews as they left Egypt, and now in their journey in chapter 15, we're going to pick up in verse 22. It says, Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And remember, it's a huge mass of people. And as they journey and they come to no place of water, they've got cattle with them. I mean, it's a crowd of people, 3 days, and no water. They're in the midst of a desert. And verse 23, they came to Marah. They found water, but they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? You know, he is responsible, and it's important in leadership to remember that people look to you for direction, whether it's in the home or in a corporation or in a church or in a team of any sort. People look to the leader for direction. And Moses resisted the idea of doing this mainly because he was comfortable with the life he had, I believe. He knew that it was a momentous task. He knew it was just huge. And so he resisted the idea of going to Egypt anyway. He wanted to just stay with the sheep. But God had a purpose for him. And so in that, as the leader, when there was no water, the people came to Moses. It was his job to lead them in a safe path. Now, who was he following? He was following the cloud. He was following the pillar of fire. God was the one leading. And so we know that it was not really up to Moses to lead them in the right path except to stay behind that cloud, to stay behind that pillar. And so they came to Moses and they whined, they murmured. And, you know, I know that we criticize them for murmuring, but it would be hard to go a 3 days journey out into the desert and feel like you didn't have anything to drink. How many of you have ever been thirsty? And they were thirsty. And they had nothing, and they came to this bitter water. And as much as they wanted to drink it, and as bad as they needed to drink it, they couldn't drink it. And so they went to Moses, and they said, this won't work. Verse 25, Moses cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm always interested when God doesn't just solve the problem. How many of you wish God would just solve the problem? I mean, you're God. Just solve it. Just fix it. Why, if God knew the problem, why, if God could solve the problem, why did God not just solve the problem? Because he was trying to get the people to trust Moses, and he was trying to get Moses to stay engaged with the people and with the activity of leadership. So he said, so God showed him a tree. He said, take that tree and put it in the water, and the water will be fine. Now, it's a little unconventional. It's unusual. But if God said to do it, just do it. It doesn't matter if it's unconventional. If God said to do it, just do it. I don't get the sense here as I read this that Jesus physically walked down there and said, Moses, look at this tree right here. This will work just fine. Cut it down, throw it in the water. I have the sense that this was more of a revelation. This was more of God leading Moses to this tree to try something out of the ordinary to solve the problem. But our solutions are within reach. Our solutions, though they may be heaven sent and they may be born in heaven, our solutions are within reach. And we're always trying to think of ways to solve problems, when if we'll pray, God can guide us, lead us, give us revelation in our hearts, not audibly, but in our hearts, and show us the way. And so the Lord healed the waters. He proved them there. Verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. So again, had it not been for the bitter water, they would not have heard this from God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And if you'll follow me, if you'll walk with me, if you'll serve me, then I won't bring on you what I brought on Egypt. Now, I want to clarify something from this morning, because sometimes people get the sense that, well, you know, preacher's just preaching on coming to church. You know, I wasn't preaching on coming to church for your sake this morning. I was preaching on coming to church for their sake, for the children's sake. Because children have no way to get to church without somebody bringing them. They can't drive. I've seen them when 8-year-olds drive, and it doesn't turn out well. So they rely on us to bring them to God. So that preaching about having them in church and about how important it is was not just nailing you to be at church. It was about having those children under the Word of God. That's what they need. That's how they grow. That's how they learn. And so I just wanted to clarify that. Here, as God says, if you'll do what I tell you to do, then you'll avoid a lot of problems. And I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of times that if we'd have been in church, if we'd have been in church to hear what was taught, if we'd have taken those lessons to heart, we'd have avoided a lot of problems. Now, it doesn't mean we'll never have any troubles. Here, these people were following God, and they had no water. But God solved it. There was a solution within reach. In verse 27, they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Chapter 16. Again in verse 3, the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. Ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. This is what they call hangry. Y'all ever been hangry? You're so hungry that nobody wants to be around you. In Exodus 2, I want to show you something. Because these guys right here, the memory had lapsed. They said, remember how good it was in Egypt. Remember how we sat there and ate till we were full. Remember how we had everything we wanted. In chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. I've learned that some people just complain. They do. It's not that they are necessarily angry. It's not that there's anything new. It's just that that's how they are. And if we jump every time they have a complaint, we'll still never satisfy them. I was writing a paper the other day and mentioned that regarding firefighters. Because, you know, when I first started in the fire department, I really believed and took every complaint to heart, because I thought, well, these guys have problems. And then after these years, I figured out that they don't have any problems. They just like to complain. And some people are just like that. And so we have to be able to tell the difference. They complained in Egypt. Now they complain in the desert. They sat by the 12 wells with 70 palm trees, and they said, this is a great place to live. And when they left that place, they said, they didn't say, you notice this? They didn't say we should have stayed in Elim. Did it say that in your Bible? They didn't remember the good place where they had just been. They wanted to go all the way back and start over. They said this whole thing was a nightmare. Well, guys, y'all remember y'all have heard the phrase, throwing the baby out with the bathwater? You don't throw the whole thing out just because a little piece is broken. You don't start all over just because you hit a rough spot. And that, you know, that can be taken in so many different directions in life. Whether it's our health, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our children, you know, whether whatever, jobs, businesses. You don't just eliminate something because there's a problem. There are going to be problems. Jesus told us that this morning. When it comes to raising children, there are going to be offenses. Just don't be the one that offends them. So, So they came and they complained. But that's what they do. Chapter 3, they just complained and they said, "You brought us out here to kill us." Verse number 4. "Then said the Lord unto Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. And I will prove whether they will walk in my law or not." So God's going to rain down bread from heaven. But He put some stipulations on it. Even in God's blessing, even in God's provision, there are parameters, there are guidelines, there are limits. And here, God said, "I'm going to set some limits even on this, and I want to see if they'll follow it." Now, there were basically two limits He set. Number one, He said, every day you'll come and get this bread. What did Jesus say in the model prayer? "Give us this day our daily bread." And that's how it was. Every day, that bread would fall from heaven. He said, "Gather as much as you want, but it's not going to last more than one day. Every day will be fresh, every day will be new, and what you got yesterday won't help today." That's how God's provision is. That's how our walk with God is. You know, Sunday church is not intended to carry us through the whole week. We're supposed to read our Bible on Monday too. We're supposed to pray on Tuesday too. We're supposed to worship on Wednesday too. So every day of the week, we're supposed to stay in contact with God and with His Word through prayer and through worship. Sunday is not supposed to be the weekly supply. God gives us a daily supply. Now, while His grace, the blood of Jesus and God's forgiveness is eternal, the Bible says His mercy is what? New every day. You know why? Because I know I need it every day. Every day. So His mercies are new every day. And we look to God for daily provision. So He set boundaries to prove them. In verse 5, "It shall come to pass on the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." So He wasn't going to provide on the Sabbath. He wanted them to get enough supply on the sixth day. So that was the only day where that provision would carry over. That's the only day of the week it would carry over, because it was designed that way. In verse 25 of chapter 16, Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." So there was not going to be any available. But God provided bread. Verse 7 through 9, we see them continuing to murmur. We see that God reveals Himself in verse 10. "The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." What does that mean? It'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it? Was that Jesus in the cloud? Was that the figure of Jesus in the cloud? Or was it that Shekinah glory, that the colors of God? See, there was just a cloud. It was just a cloud. But when we look at Ezekiel's description in particular, we see the different colors. And I always go back to fireworks on this because it's what we can relate to. That energy, that flashing. You know, it's just the different colors and the flashes that we see on fireworks. And I believe that's why we're so drawn to fireworks. Because that looks like it replicates, it imitates the glory of God. And so He shows them, He reveals Himself, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Because the people needed to be reminded that while Moses was their leader, he was not ultimately in charge. Verse 12 through 13, God says, "I'll give you bread in the morning and quail in the evening." So meat in the evening. Verse 18, "When they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." How big is your grave going to be? I guarantee you this. They come the same size for everybody. You say, well, I'm not going to have one. I'll be cremated. Then you'll fit in the same jar as everybody else. I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly. But the truth is, at the end of this life, we're not taking anything with us. It's all going to stay here. So whatever we do in this life, on that final day, we're going to go to heaven, and only what's done for Christ will last. What we get at judgment, what we're either rewarded or judged, that's all that's going to count. Everything else is going to be left behind. But he that gathered much had nothing left over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Everybody was full every day. Verse number 19, Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses. Some of them left off of it, left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. He said, look, this stuff's not going to last. Don't leave it laying around. Eat what you can eat, and don't gather more than you can eat. But some of them, and I know this never happens to you, their eyes were bigger than their belly. Now, I've got a big belly, but sometimes my eyes are bigger. And we get more than we think we're actually going to need. And so they gathered much, and he said, don't hold on to it. And the next morning, they started having worms and flies and stench. Why? Because they were disobedient. Because they didn't follow the rules. Because they didn't follow the plan. And what did God say? God said, I'll rain down bread from heaven, and I'll prove them. I'll see if they're able to follow the little things. You know, that's how God tests us, in the little things. If we can't get the little things right, why would He give us a big job? If we can't get the little things right, why would He give us something challenging? Until we can learn to follow the simple things. And I'll tell you something, in your business, if you had a business today, you would not put somebody in charge of something big till you tested them in something small. If you would, then you haven't figured it out yet. We got to test them in the small things. And if they can't get that right, there's no need for promotion. We just promote them to fail. Verse 27. It came to pass there went out some of the people on the seventh day, and they found none. Didn't God tell them that wasn't going to happen? God said, on the sixth day, I'm going to rain it down. There's going to be so much, you can get twice as much. But there won't be any on the seventh. And on the seventh day, they came out in the morning looking for bread, because God provided bread in the morning. And they were out there hunting for it. And they got out there and they found nothing. And you know what? I bet they were saying, God's late today. Y'all ever do that with a paper man? God's late today. God forgot. God didn't forget. You forgot. God never forgets. But we got to live by the rules, and we got to follow God's plan. And so on the seventh day there was none. And verse 28, the Lord said to Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? This is a small thing. I mean, to us, keeping the Sabbath, honoring the Sabbath, this one day of rest, seems like the smallest of all commandments, doesn't it? Because one is for me. I'm supposed to rest. Jesus said, man was not made to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made to serve man. And even though this is maybe the smallest thing in our mind, God says it's not a small thing. We need the rest. We need to take that day a week. We need to take that day a week to worship. That day a week to reset, to calibrate, to reconnect with God, to rest. God was upset. And He said, how long you refuse to keep my laws? Look at verse 29. See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore He giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. God said, I'll tell you what, if you can't rest on the seventh day, then you're on lockdown. Just don't even leave the house. You're going to rest. You have to rest. How many of y'all grew up and you couldn't watch TV on Sunday? Of course, you know, Sunday's our day of rest now. Can't go outside and play ball on Sunday. Can't go anywhere on Sunday. And the stores were closed on Sunday. And now, if something's not open all day Sunday, we get aggravated. But that day of rest was necessary. Verse 35 tells us, or verse 33 says, they put manna in the ark so they would remember it. And in verse 35, the manna was provided for 40 years. Again, in chapter 17, verse 1, no water. Again, no water. So God says to Moses, I want you to take, in verse number 6, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, which are translated trial and strife, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? He appeared to them. He parted the water. He's raining. This is this morning they got up and they walked outside, and you know what was on the ground? Bread. And at evening, you know what? They went out and the quail came down and they just caught them. It was just that easy. He provided bread in the morning and meat in the evening. And now there's one thing missing, and I understand water is important in our lives. But just because there's one thing that God hasn't done for you, don't question God's existence. Don't question God's presence. Don't question God's devotion. And then in verse 8, it says Amalek came out and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Remember when they left Egypt, they did not follow the coast. They could have followed the coast right along and gone right up into Canaan. But rather than do that, the Lord moved them around down through Sinai because He wanted them to avoid the conflict. Because He said if they hit conflict today, they'll turn around and go back and it'll be over. So He gives them a little opportunity to build some momentum, to get some steam going, and they keep hitting little obstacles. And now they come, and Amalek comes, sweeps in, and starts fighting with Israel. Moses goes up with Aaron and Hur, that's in verse number 10, and they went up to the top of the hill, where they could see the battle taking place down in the valley. The Bible says, in verse number 11, it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone and put it under him. He sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. His hands were steady to the going down of the sun. Now Moses was up on the hill, and the people that were down there fighting said, well, Moses, he's not even down here fighting with us. And we talk about David, and we criticize David because when kings go forth to battle, David stayed home, and he got in trouble too, didn't he? But Moses, though he was not in the fight, he was still leading the fight. Though he was not doing hand-to-hand combat, he was still part of the solution. He was still involved in the success. And we notice there that Moses, even though he was not on the field of battle, he was supporting the effort, and he needed support. Let's not forget that we need to support our leaders and hold up their hands and help them as we can. It wasn't about Moses. Had they not held up Moses' hands, the people would have lost. You see, it's not when we help the pastor, when we encourage the pastor, it's not just about the pastor. It's about the church. It's about keeping him engaged so that he can do what he needs to do. Because if he gets weary to the point that he can't function, we all suffer. So in these three chapters, God shows us that He can turn the sweet, the bitter into sweet. The solution is within reach. The bitter into sweet. He shows us that He can provide our necessities, our daily bread. But there are rules, and we've got to keep the rules. It's a test of whether or not we'll follow the simple things so that He can trust us with the big things. And we see that we've got to support each other. We're all in this together. And if Moses fails, we all fail. We've got to remember that. Let's stand.